Cedar Gate Carlantis Cove with Amanda Alexander.
That's me.
The first guest I remember this
for. It's for popping in the booth. I know. I'm savvy in the whole microphone world.
Everyone calls it the spit guard. They're like, why do you guys have spit guards?
Are you serious? People don't know that? Because that's what... That's what the fluffy thing is on the microphones for as well.
The wind song.
Yeah.
For the wind coming out of our mouths. The hot air coming out of mine. Heyo!
Oh!
I'm Jordy.
Hi, I'm Clayton.
This is...
The Props Cast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another party, because we have a guest today.
Okay, that was awkward. But, that's good. Hi, we have a guest today.
No pressure, boys.
Amanda Alexander. Scripted supervisor to the stars.
To the actual stars.
Thanks for being with us.
No one's ever heard of most of the stars, but yeah.
That's not true.
I guess that's true.
That's not true. You and I alone have worked with some big names.
That's true. Just recently, too.
Yeah.
One of them being the guy that we had, Chris...
Connor.
Chris Connor.
You had Chris on here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's... Actually, he did mention he was going to come here.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
He was great.
It was really fun.
Yeah. He's very funny, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good character.
Good dude.
His fun fact, his grandmother is buried next to Billy the Kid's grandmother.
Don't know if you knew that. Is a crazy fun fact. I did not know that, and he should advertise that.
I think so, too.
Because he's from Silver City, New Mexico. We got into this whole... I'm like, Silver City, New Mexico? What a crazy, like, old Western
and
town.
As you were like, isn't Billy the... Kid? Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's hilarious.
So you knew that Billy the Kid was from Sober City, New Mexico?
I think so.
You had some connection.
Yeah. I'm really up and up on my...
I was going to say, you're like...
Billy the Kid history.
Clavin, and you just have these random facts in your head?
Yeah.
We were just talking about Cliff Clavin.
We just talked about Cliff Clavin last week.
I'm so savvy.
Very good, very good. Okay, well, Amanda, tell us a bit about yourself. Where are you from? Where you grew up?
I grew up in Alberta.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So did I.
Really?
Yeah.
Sherwood Park.
Oh, really? I'm from Wetaskiwin.
Oh.
Cars cost less.
I'm sorry. They do.
I know. Wetaskiwin is not...
We've had so many Albertans on the show.
But I have relatives in Sherwood
Park.
Listen,
we all left Alberta. Come on.
Yeah, I know. And now it's... Yeah. We can't.
There are several people in this film industry in BC that went to my high school.
Wow.
Yeah. Small world.
At the same time?
Different I was the youngest. Oh. I was in high school way longer than they were.
You were in high school in like late 90s, we'll say? Early 2000s?
Yeah. Okay. Let's go with that.
Of course. Same time as me and Clayton.
Yeah.
It was a crazy time. I liked it. So you are from Sherwood Park, and then you moved out here to work in film or just do other things?
Funny story. I was working in film in Calgary, which is where...
I worked in film in Calgary, too.
What years?
99 to about 2003.
I left in 97.
Weird. You might know my parents.
Who are you? Oh, God. Thank you for that.
Well, no, just because they're very well-known people.
They are.
Who are your parents?
Scott and Lori Dobie. My dad has passed away now, though.
My mom
did props.
I probably do. It's just the name. But see, it's the last name thing. We don't know last names in film.
Yeah,
so
that's
I probably
true.
Know Lori.
Yeah,
but that's how I know her.
Your last name ends up being your department name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what shows did you work on?
I did North of 60.
Okay.
I did Lonesome Dove.
So my dad worked on Lonesome Dove.
So I probably...
He was art director.
Oh, yeah. Then I'm sure I know your dad.
Yeah, probably.
And then... I did like TV movies, but there wasn't a lot of work in Alberta.
That's why I left too.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, I left for that reason, but I also left because there was some personal stuff that went down in the film industry that I was starting to become a very bitter person, and I'm not a bitter person. So I just went, I'm just going to leave.
Well, Alberta can make you bitter, period.
It can.
Am I right? Oh boy.
I think you can.
Well, minus 30 on a sunny day makes me bitter as fuck. That's all I know.
Welcome to Vancouver, both of you, as a representative of the Lower Mainland.
That is so nice.
It's great to have you both.
Okay, so then you moved out here and...
Yeah, I became a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
What? I didn't know
Alberta,
that.
In Alberta, yeah. And for I
what?
Actually never...
Airline?
For WestJet.
Oh, wow.
But I never actually did a flight.
Oh.
Oh.
Because I was going back to the bitter thing, I got bitter and I went, I'm leaving this business. It sucks.
Right.
And I went and I became a flight attendant. And then I did the training and then I went,
I don't like this either.
This is really not me.
Yeah.
So I called them up and I said, I quit. And they really liked that. And then I moved to Vancouver and started working here and have worked ever since I got here.
Nice.
Yeah. Whereas Alberta wasn't like that.
Well, I remember in Alberta come October, now, shows would all dry up and you'd go on EI and hopefully a show would come in May. You know, it's not the same. It wasn't back then. I know now it's gotten better. They have better shows.
Well,
there
you
now.
Can't work in Alberta in the winter.
You physically can't shoot outside. That's for
on
sure.
North it's of 60, we had hard. A first AD lose two toes
to God.
Frostbite because we were working it? Outside. Don't ask me his name. I don't remember.
I was going to say, because I know all
those
people.
That's 20 years ago.
I know. I do still know
fun fact, a few episodes ago, I got North of 60 mixed up with Due South.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then he got upset
about... It's usually
about...
North of 60 and Northern Exposure.
No, I know the difference between those two.
No, yeah, fair enough. You
it
would.
Was just the North and South. And I also got All in the Family mixed up with Family Matters.
Which was also funny.
Those are two completely different shows.
I know, but they both have the word family in the title.
Okay.
Okay, so what was the show, the first show that you did out here?
If you remember. It was a TV movie by the name of He Knows She Did It.
Sounds really
great.
I think that was
great
the name.
Title.
I think that was the name. It might have changed, but that was the working title while we were working on it. I replaced the third script supervisor.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So you were the third. Fourth.
I was the third.
You were the third.
Yeah. So I guess, yes, I replaced two and I was the third. And I came in halfway through the day. And the only reason I was hired is because the director happened to know me. So he knew I was in town. I just moved. And he's like, get Amanda. And I walked in. They handed me the book, her book that she left behind.
With all the notes and everything.
And the first thing I hear, we're at the Waldorf in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I hear as I walk up to the director to say, hi, I'm here, is where is that effing see you next Tuesday? And the director turned to me and went, she's calling for you. And I went, excuse me? I just walked in the door. And he's like, she wants the script supervisor. I'm like, and she calls us. See you next Tuesday?
Who is this? The lead actor?
Yes.
Can I say her name online? Because I have the movie up here.
Do you?
I do.
It was Arquette.
Rosanna Arquette.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Fuck.
Yeah. You can't hide from the props cast.
I have a great story about that movie, though, that I'm so proud of.
Okay.
So I walked up to her, met her, and she's like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm your new script supervisor. Please be kind. And she's like, well, what's my line? And so I gave her line. And then a few days later, she played a lawyer who was being blackmailed. And we had this huge scene.
Yeah.
Classic MOW.
Because she knew what he did.
Quick plot. Lawyer gets raped. Oh. Kills her rapist by accident.
Oh.
Right? Peeping Tom watching the rape. Then blackmails her for killing rapist.
Could there be more of a TV movie plot than
I'm
that?
I'm telling you.
Tonight on Hallmark.
Exactly. Well, more like Lifetime.
A peeping Tom finds out.
God. She knows what he did.
See?
To her.
Okay, but Lachlan Monroe is a good guy.
Lachlan's great.
Oh, yeah.
He was him.
He was the rapist.
Oh.
Yeah. He's the one who gets killed.
I'm sure Lachlan didn't.
Who is the other lead male? Do you remember? What's his name
Stephen Eckholt. Detective Richard Younger.
No, he played the detective. It was the blackmail guy.
Gary Chalk.
Gary did not play.
Lawrence Monson.
Gary Chalk was obviously the mayor or the sheriff.
Fulvio's.
Possibly Russian.
Malcolm Stewart. I don't know. Christ.
Okay.
It's a real cast.
Maybe we should talk about what a script supervisor does for the people that listen who don't know.
Yeah, sure.
It's such a complicated thing.
Do you describe it when you go to a birthday party and someone's like, what do you do for a living?
I usually say I don't want to talk about it, but
when you're at the family reunion in Sherwood Park and everyone's like, so what do you do for a living out there on the West Coast? What do you say?
Stripper. No, I'm kidding.
Fair enough.
No, the sentence I usually use is the liaison between the director and the editor.
Oh,
that's a pretty good, that's a good description. And yeah. I wouldn't have thought to put it that way.
Nor would I.
Yeah.
Have at all, actually.
And in brackets, you say most important person on set. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, props best friend for sure.
Well, you're one of the fucking, what do I call them, Clayton, for the five people. I have this rule, the five people. There, if I'm on a show and the director, the DP, the first AD, the scripty, can maybe it's four people.
And the
oh no, and the camera operator, it is five people.
Yeah.
So camera operator, DP, director, scripty, first AD.
Yeah.
If one of them is an idiot or an asshole, the show sucks. The show sucks, right?
Well, I think you can get away with a DP who's an asshole.
Yeah, but it's still tough.
You can kind of navigate around that one.
But it's not easy.
It's not, but
if
you can.
They're yelling at everybody and fucking telling you.
But
to
usually
get
they don't
lost.
Yell. DPs usually don't yell at other people outside of their realm.
I've been yelled at
by a DP.
I mean,
occasionally.
I know you have.
You were there.
I haven't been yelled at by a DP.
No?
But that's because I just manipulate them so they like me.
Hmm.
That's the key. That's the key to my job.
See, we can't do that.
Sure you can.
Not really.
Sure you can.
I tried.
Failed.
Exactly. No, but I always, because there's different jobs that the script supervisor does.
Yes.
One of them that people obviously know about is continuity with from scene to scene.
I feel like that's less now than it used to be.
It's funny. I was just having a conversation with someone yesterday about the most important aspect of my position.
Yeah.
And it's basically, I mean, the most important thing for me to do is to get people to trust me.
Right.
The director to trust me, the actors to trust me,
yeah,
props
sure.
to trust me. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to kind of trust that I know what's going on.
Yeah.
And if I don't, if they come at me and they don't have the confidence in that, I can't really do my job properly because I rely on everybody to help me do my job.
Oh, mm-hmm. absolutely. Yeah.
And so for me, the most important thing about continuity is knowing what's important.
Yeah.
Period.
And I think that's why.
That's a good, really good point.
I really like working with you because there's always those moments where you're like, oh, the thing's not really sitting on his shoulder right. But like, it doesn't matter for this shot.
You can't see it.
Can't
or
tell.
Even if, or the performance was amazing.
Yeah.
So are we going to not go with that because there was a strap?
You can kill yourself trying to get everything to be perfect and
you
exactly
can't.
It really doesn't
it's
matter
such a, yeah when end. I'm on set it's the script supervisor is such a big part of my life at that
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, because like if I'm working with like a good one like you know Linda Lisa or Allison
LL.
Or you know what I mean, like just somebody who really gets it and is on the same level and you can work as a team and have conversations about things every time, you know. Like Patty Henderson, I just worked with. She's really great.
Patty's fantastic.
And it just makes such a big deal for me because if they don't know or if they're not communicating with you mm-hmm. or if they're mean to me, I just completely shut off. And I'm just like, yeah, okay, whatever. We'll just see what happens then with this fucking shit because I don't care.
Yeah.
If you don't care, I don't, you know, it's just like I need them. I need them, you know. And it must be like that for you. Like if you're working with a shitty costumer or a shitty props guy.
Absolutely.
You're just like, holy fuck, this is fucked. And now we've shot it. And now it snowballs, right?
It's absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, everybody says ultimately we're responsible for all of that, for every department.
But you can't.
But
I don't look
at it that way.
No,
and it
I.
used to be more that way. Whereas now there's the people coming up are so much better trained to take care of their own shit.
Yeah.
And then I'm kind of the backup to help them figure out what's important.
Well, and it has to be a team effort.
Absolutely.
With everybody, right? Because no one person is just going to be able to control that much of what happens, right? People don't really understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, insecure people, and you have insecure people who are part of the crew, or you have an insecure director.
Oh,
they make the job really difficult because they believe you're there to point out their mistakes or to embarrass them or to send them like, why would you want to do it that way?
Yeah.
And that's not what we're there for. None of us are there for as a crew.
Yeah.
You know, and when they come in and they're assholes, it's hard for us to, you know, want to help.
Well, we all want to do our job to the best of our ability, right? And sometimes we just need to.
We want
help.
Things to be right. You know.
Yeah.
We don't need to make a big deal about it. We just need to make it right. Mm-hmm. You know. That's all.
Yeah, we want it. Correct. You mean we don't go in wanting it to be crap?
No, sometimes it is.
Well, you know.
So good.
Every Thursday, that's why we're there.
Yeah. I know it's tough though for everybody. Like I know I find, and that's a, like I like what you said about insecurities, because I find insecure script supervisors, they get so defensive, yeah. And you're like, I'm not attacking you. I'm just asking you the question: is this gonna be okay? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've we all make mistakes. I've made plenty in my career where like, that's really not going to cut. That's not going to match at all. But, you know, you just, what do they say? It's called Manelmo is what we used to call it on Stargate.
Manelmo?
Manelmo.
Manelmo.
What is that?
Make a note and move on.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to totally resurrect that.
So whenever there was an issue, like if I went with an issue to somebody and they didn't want to hear it, and it was, I knew it was going to be a problem, they would turn to me and just go, Manelmo, Amanda. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Make and a note, sometimes, move on. Sometimes it's hard to know, because sometimes you'll be on set and you'll be like, oh man, that's not good. And then you watch the show and you're like, you never saw it at all. And then other times you're like, no, nobody will notice that. It'll be fine.
And then you watch
You watch it and you're like, oh my God, it's so obvious. So embarrassing.
But there's so many variables to all of that stuff, right? Like, oh, is she wearing the gun? It's like, no, she doesn't want to. Like, she's adamant that she doesn't want to. So we've tucked the coat. You know, you just have to
actor personalities with it, right? Definitely factor in. Yeah. And that's the key. Like, that's the key in my position is right now I'm doing a show where I'm working with a whole bunch of actors that are not on my show. We're doing crossover episode.
Oh, right.
So I have from five different shows, I have all of those actors at some point in the next 10 days. Oh, because
you're doing Batwoman right now.
Yeah.
Nice.
God.
And so you have these people who come in and are surrounded by a crew that they don't know, you know, and you
because they don't get to bring anybody with them.
Well, they bring, a lot of them bring their hair, makeup with them.
Right.
And wardrobe because you know, they all have specific things that they're wearing because they're superheroes.
Right. Sure.
So, you know, they bring those people, but the rest of the people, you know, I walk up to them and they've never seen me before and they have to trust me that what I'm saying to them is correct. So the key is to really quickly figure out a way to get them to trust you. And that goes with everybody. You just have to.
I've known you for 17 minutes and I feel like I trust you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's sort of what I do.
Right? Exactly. You know?
I'm really good at it.
Well, and if you're not, I know exactly what you're talking about, like these crossover episodes. Like it must be kind of bizarre, isn't it?
We've done 4 days on the episode and I have yet to work with any of my actors on my show. It's all been
the actors from the other shows.
From the other shows.
Because what episode are you guys, you're just on episode 2?
No, this is episode 8.
Oh, 8.
That we're shooting for Batwoman. We are hour 2 in the 5-hour event. The first hour is
event.
The first hour is Supergirl. Then we are Batwoman, and then I believe it's Arrow.
Oh,
and then the Flash.
And then the Flash, I believe, and then Legends. It's either Flash and Legends or Legends and Flash. I'm not sure the
Legends
final.
Is the D student of that group.
You know, I actually admire the people from Legends, though, because they sort of, that show in the beginning, I've never seen it, so I don't really know what I'm talking about. God, but
I almost did that show with Tyler Smith.
Oh, okay. I love Tyler.
So do I.
So do I. Hmm. Barely know him, but I love him. okay, no, but here's my challenge for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Watch an episode of it.
I don't think I could.
You wouldn't believe it. And
because
and as a
I had one actor on 2 days ago. I had an actor from that show on my show who was a lovely person.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Really sweet and very kind.
For sure.
And I watched him and I went, I don't know what this show is.
Well, okay. So really if they're ever teaching the script supervising courses at Cap College or VFS or whatever, they should show an episode of Legends of Tomorrow, because the way they shoot it, there's so many people in some of the scenes, and then when they get into the coverage,
yes,
like they'll do a master, you're like, okay, I'm in this room, and then they start getting into the coverage and you're like, who's talking to who or what's happened here? Like they don't do overs enough, or I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
because I'm
not
an
expert. You get lost.
You get completely lost. Yeah. You have no idea who's talking to who, and then all of a sudden you're just like, okay, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. Maybe it was just the episode I watched. And it was, it had a bad.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the beginning, the show really tried to be darker and more serious. And then the producers went, this is not working.
Yeah.
So let's make it campy. Let's go way over the top with it.
And
you know, people are, you know, actors are working.
People must like it.
People love it.
People love
movies.
Do they?
People, they must.
I don't know.
All of those shows. It was, we talked about, was it with Pete that we talked about? Psych? Or Dan Miller.
Yeah, Dan.
Just like, no one here has ever heard of it, but it ran for 8 seasons.
It's funny. Yeah. There's like there's a core group of people who watch these shows.
Yeah,
right?
And we make them all. And no one up here, like, they're like, what's Legends of Tomorrow?
Yeah, it's a little weird to work on shows that are not popular.
popular where you live, because they're popular south.
I guess that's true.
Right?
Well, I did Man in the High Castle last year, and not many people know that show.
Yeah.
And it was huge.
Well, even Altered Carbon, I get a lot of blank stares when I mention Altered Carbon.
But that's what, and you know what, in the end, that's, unless you're on like a hit show.
Hit show.
Yeah, and because there's so many, it's so vast now. There's so many different versions. Okay, Amanda, though. Here, I'm looking at IMDb.
Oh, God.
No. Why? I just am. Mad About Town, classic. Classic
Mad
Affleck.
About Town, yeah. I got stories from that one, too. Mr. Ben Affleck.
Okay, well, tell us a couple, just quickly.
Ben Affleck is a genius.
Oh, really?
He really is. Yeah. He's, like, really smart.
I really like
and
him.
And he's a 12-year-old boy.
Oh.
Yeah. He's a 12-year-old boy. He liked to fart in my face.
No. Oh, wow. Like, for real?
Yeah. You know, because it's funny.
Ben.
That is a genius move, for sure. 12-year-old boy.
Yeah. He had just started dating Jennifer Garner when he did that movie. And so she came and visited us on set and hung out beside me for a couple days. Lovely woman.
That's what I was going to say. She seems
incredible woman.
Nice. Yeah.
There was people from the crew that had done Dare. What was the movie she did?
Elektra.
Yeah. That had done it, like Grips, like, you know, number 5 Grip, who had done Elektra. And she remembered them and remembered their name and really happy to see them. She was a lovely human. And when she was there, Ben was a grown man.
Oh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did he not, or was that on Daredevil?
Where they met, I believe.
But what was the one where he was dating somebody? I don't know if it was Jennifer Lopez or Jennifer Garner. And he went to like the strip club.
Jennifer Lopez. I was just talking about that yesterday.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a big scandal.
Went to Brandy's.
Went to Brandy's.
Spent a lot of money.
Escorts.
Yeah.
Come on. You can do better than that.
Escorts.
Guy. Fuck, man. Affleck. I'm sure there's more to the story.
He used to fall asleep while they were doing his touches because he'd stay up all night.
Wow.
Literally fall asleep. We'd get ready to roll. They'd finish his touches. They'd walk away. He'd be sitting at a desk. They'd finish his touches. We'd walk away and action. Ben? Ben.
What?
I think he's sleeping. He's sleeping. He's absolutely
standing
sleeping.
Up? God, that's quite the skill.
Amazing. Yeah.
He had great stories, though, about when he won his Oscar. I'll tell you that.
Oh yeah.
He had some good stories.
Goodwill Hunting.
And they're not my stories, so I'm not going to share them. But they were good stories.
God, I bet they were. Okay, but next up on your IMDb.
Oh God.
It's a little show called Stargate SG-1.
Never heard of it.
Have you ever heard of it?
I was there for a long time.
You did 59 episodes, and usually
I think I did more than that.
Well, usually the episode counts on IMDb are lower.
Yeah.
For some, I don't know why that has
I was
to
there
happen.
For 9 years almost.
Good God.
With all of the incarnations of it, like Atlantis and SGU.
SGU.
Okay.
Don't be dissing SGU. That was really, that was like the best
And that was
years
the better one.
Life.
That's from what I remember.
Yeah.
That was the better one of them all, wasn't it? Because they kind of got a little bit more
It definitely
stylized.
Was darker. Darker. It was darker, and the acting was amazing. Not that the acting wasn't amazing on the other shows.
Right.
But it was a joy to work on that for
oh,
2 years.
Nice.
We were extremely disappointed when it didn't come back.
So yeah, start.
Oh, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
All told, how many years did you do Stargate?
Okay, I came in on season 3, about halfway through season 3. Wow. I got hired by Andy Makita, Who became one of the directors.
We know him.
Yeah. He was the production manager at the time.
Right. Oh.
He hired me to do one episode. Because that was the beginning of script supervisors alternating. So you do an episode and then you take an episode off and prep the next episode.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a new thing, but it was great. And so they had Candace Field was their main script supervisor. And then the second script supervisor kept getting fired or leaving.
All right.
So I came in and they figured I'd just probably get fired or I'd end up leaving the show. So they hired me for one. And I stayed until season 9. And the only reason I didn't do season 10 is because I had a baby.
Ah.
Yeah.
A likely excuse.
Well, I know, right?
Sounds like you kind of whipped out.
So I was there for a while. Well,
and
maybe.
Then they did Atlantis?
Man. Well, Atlantis overlapped for 3 years.
Oh.
Atlantis. When did Atlantis come in?
It was
season.
They did 3 years of Atlantis and Stargate at the same time.
At the same time. So okay. I worked on Stargate when that was happening.
Yes. And it was insane.
Yeah. I worked on both of them simultaneously. When
one
I first
props
moved
master
in.
For both shows.
Oh my God. Were they both at
that
Bridge?
That was Dean Gadine.
Dean Gadine.
Yeah.
So Dean Gadine, he trained me in Alberta.
Did he really?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like my mentor. And I moved out here and he moved out here. And he already had a crew on that show, obviously. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just find something else. But then he's like, well, I need you to just come in and work a bit for a couple months. So I just, when I first moved out here, it was the first show I ever worked on, both of them at the same time. Like one day I'd be on Atlantis, next day I'd be on.
Yeah, it was SG1. A little, I did the same because I would be doing, I'd be my main Stargate and then I'd go do second units.
Yeah, exactly.
On Atlantis when they needed, when they didn't
did
have anybody.
Did the cast cross over like the
not
DC
really.
Shows?
They were two different worlds. Yeah. I mean, occasionally there was some crossover, but not really.
But same production company. And
yeah.
All
like
that.
Same offices, PMs. Same production coordinator, yeah. Like amazing. For two shows. It was insane.
And was that 22 episodes a season kind of that kind of show?
I don't know if Atlantis did 22, maybe 20 in the beginning. And then it might have went down to 13.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was only like 13 in those days.
No, it was. I mean, when we first started Stargate, we were 22.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right.
Hour long,
22. So it was a 10-month show.
I can't believe we used to do that for TV.
Well, we still do. I mean, Batwoman's looking at 22.
Hour long?
You know, we're doing 13, and then we're going to get a back nine.
Everybody always talks about the back nine.
Back nine.
We got the back nine.
We got the back 52.
The podcast got picked up.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So every time we do a new episode, we have 52 more.
Somehow. Yeah. We didn't read the contract before we signed it.
It's crazy. It's
pretty typical of a film work.
It's basically a Jesus jug of episodes.
Yeah, we have no idea what we're going to talk about. We'll probably do an episode about Robertson's Screwheads on set.
God, I didn't know Jason Momoa was in Atlantis.
Oh, yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
Jeez.
He was like top four cast.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Not when I was there. I don't remember him.
Although,
I mean,
how can you not remember Jason?
I know. He's such
a big ass personality.
Well,
yeah.
Big ass dude. I do remember Paul McGillion, though.
Paul, yeah.
He's a great guy.
I've worked with him.
You know him. He's awesome. He's local.
He's a great guy.
Martin Wood. See, me and Clayton know all those guys. Like
all the directors,
Well, because we did, what did we do with all of them?
Olympus. But I also worked with some of them on Cedar Cove with you.
Yes, with Martin.
Yeah, Martin and Andy.
Andy did. He did the first Cedar episode. Cove. Yeah, he did.
And can we just for a minute here, the three of us, talk about how nice and kind and amazing Amanda Tapping is as a human being?
Yeah, she's okay.
Oh, come on.
No, she is one of my favorite people in the world.
In the whole world. She's so nice and deserves every...
talented actor, very talented director.
I've worked with her in both capacities, and she's equally great in both.
Yeah,
like just so pleasant. Remember? Oh no, you weren't there. We did a show and tell with her on Olympus because she directed an episode.
Was a very difficult situation for her on that show.
I had a very interesting moment with her. What? Why?
Tell us the story.
There was a producer on Atlantis who was not, let's just say, not conducive to being kind to female directors.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, that would fly these days.
Not, well.
Wait, was it Peter DeLuise?
No. I don't think Peter did any in Olympus.
Did he? I've worked with him too many times now that I can't remember.
Even I have.
He cracks me and Clayton up.
Peter was my director on Stargate. He was the guy that I sat with, right. Mostly. Yeah. Because we alternated, so I always worked with Peter. Yeah.
I think the first time Jordy and I worked together, it was Peter was directing.
He just, yeah, that's right. That's right. It was.
Yeah.
He's the best because he always, he's the only director I've ever seen that clears an actor off their mark. He stands on the mark and does the lines how he thinks they should do it.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know why. It's the funniest thing ever to me.
Actors love that.
Actors
shit.
Love it
they
so much.
They love it.
He's like, no. Do it exactly like this.
Please, give me a line reading. Please.
Not just a line reading, but like a whole blocking reading too. Yeah,
exactly.
Put your arm up like this.
Exactly. When I was in Paris traveling.
Oh, yeah.
There was, back in the day, they did the DVDs and they did the behind the scenes. So I was in a lot of the behind the scenes stuff with Peter, usually giving Peter shit at some point or another, or making fun of him because I did that a lot too. And some woman ran across like four lanes of traffic in Paris screaming my name. And I don't know this woman. Wow. She was German and I have no idea who she was. And she grabbed me and she goes, "You're the script supervisor on Stargate." And
Holy smokes.
Holy cannoli, what is happening right now? Yeah, should I be terrified? Yeah, she's like, "I've seen you in the behind the scenes footage." I mean, the fans of Stargate are, even to this day, they are huge and loyal. And just super fans. They just love it so much.
Well, I remember when they used to line up outside of the bridge, like about the Bridge Studios, mm-hmm. and kind of like hang out across the fence, just peer in, trying to get a peek. Like, wow.
That's the sci-fi element too.
It's true. It's true.
For anyone who doesn't know, Peter DeLuise was Officer Doug Penhall in 21 Jump Street. And he's in the new movie.
Do you have his IMDb up there?
Yeah.
Peter's?
Okay, what's the name of the movie he did about roller skate, that they had to roller skate? Oh, God, I tease him about this one all the time.
Did you work on
it? He was an actor in it? Or a director?
He was a child on it. So
he was in it.
Yeah, he was in it. He was in it. And he was like probably 22, 23 when he did it.
Did he have the mullet?
And it was basically, I think it was aliens invading. And the way the kids got away was they had roller skates. So there's like footage of Peter DeLuise.
Solar babies. Oh my God.
Trying to roller skate.
Clayton, future episode, Solar Babies.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
We should get Peter on and talk about it.
Oh, wow. This looks... Me and Clayton did this episode of
Solar Babies
2 ago where we were talking about toys, and we looked up this one movie called The Garbage Pail Kids, and it's like, it freaked both of us out.
I loved Garbage Pail Kids.
I know, but the movie, like the way they look and costume...
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay,
I didn't know they had a movie either. He shows me this picture, and I've had nightmares ever since.
Okay, fucking Solar Babies looks like a cast of thousands, though.
Oh, yeah, there's some...
Jamie Gertz Jason
is in
Patrick, that. Lucas Haas...
It was all
You've seen the movie?
Wow.
Yeah, Peter's in it. Of course I saw it. I had to make fun of him.
You were wait, hang on. You were in a movie where you roller skated running away from aliens.
Brother.
I'll be right back.
I think it was aliens.
Went down to Blockbuster, rented it.
Oh, yeah. Put that little VHS in my machine.
Okay, Clayton, we got to post a picture of Solar Babies.
Okay, send it to me.
Yeah.
Stargate. I am ashamed to say I've never seen an episode.
What?
Of Stargate?
Mm-hmm. Even I've seen it. And I never watched it.
I've never seen it.
Neither have I. I was there.
You kind of saw it really slowly.
I did.
Out of order.
You know, and because of what I do for a living, in my head, I can see it all cut together.
Yeah.
I don't need
especially
to go back and watch it.
Especially when you shoot it right. You know how it's going to cut.
It's extremely rare that I'll watch something I've worked on.
You know what? Because that's the same thing with me.
Yeah.
In the early days, I would be like, I can't wait to watch it. But now I'm like, who's got the time?
Who has the time?
I don't have time to watch any TV shows.
Exactly.
All I'm going to be doing is looking at the props.
I had to get a grade 4 concussion to watch Stranger Things. And it was not a good idea.
Did you get one at work?
No, I got it on a water slide.
If you're going to get a concussion, you do it at work, man.
I know, but I was supposed to start work and I had to miss a week.
So did you explain? Okay, what?
I was with my daughter at a water slide park and then I just woke up 2 days later. That's the story. I don't really know.
Way to scare your kid.
And she was totally okay with it. She was like, "Yeah, Dad, you said that you went up to the lifeguard after it happened and you looked at him and said, 'Hey, excuse me, sir, can you phone an ambulance, please?'" Because apparently when I'm concussed, I'm very polite.
Well, most people are, so, I think.
Yeah, sure.
I think you're polite anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I am.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to get mad at anybody when you have a concussion, especially, right? Okay, so you guys were together on The Haunting Hour then, too?
Yeah.
No. Did season 3.
Well, and I only came in as...
And I think it was Laura Kalini doing it at that.
Well, and I only came in... Laura Kalini, she's Ken hilarious. Friss. Mm-hmm. Ken Friss, who was a script supervisor on that show.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. I have stories too, don't worry. he got an episode to direct, which is, yay, script supervisor directing, woohoo. And so he asked me to come in and replace him as the script supervisor while
then
he directed.
We did work together
then. I
know we
did. I remember that.
But I thought I met you on Cedar Cove, which was after that.
Was it?
Was it the one?
Well, maybe
was it the episode
maybe
where...
Maybe you were scared of me and you didn't talk to me on the haunting
hour. I was probably sweating bullets because I could barely do props at that point and I was running set. Was it the one with the kids show?
It was the Scarecrow one.
Oh, that was before my time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because maybe Ken season. Did more than
he
just
did
the
in
one.
Season 3. He directed.
So yeah, this was
two.
The Scarecrow one.
Okay. Yeah. No, I remember Isaac telling me about that, but
yeah.
I wasn't there yet. That was still Scott Elwood doing it.
It was Scott. You're right.
Classic Scarecrow.
Okay. I got nervous because I'm like, I'm pretty sure I met you on Cedar Cove.
Yeah. That would have been embarrassing.
Yeah. I think that's where we met.
Yeah.
Okay, but can we talk about
Cedar
Cove?
Yeah, we can talk about Cedar Cove.
Now, Clayton.
Oh, yeah.
Ken.
It's the number one thing on my IMDb.
It should be.
Known for Cedar Cove season 1 only.
Andy McDowell does look quite good. You know what I mean?
Oh, like she's
nice?
A beautiful
she's
woman.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she's nice. I mean, she was nice to me. I think she could probably take your head off if she chose to.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So but she was
very
pleasant
to me.
Yeah, she was very supportive.
She had to ride that bike in her like heel boots.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't know. And she's like, I got it. Off she goes.
Dylan Neal, too. Like, this guy just embodies those
Oh, he was
shows,
super nice to me.
Right?
Yeah.
He's got that look.
That was an interesting show, though, wasn't it?
It was.
Do you remember any of the plots of any of that? I don't know if you want to speak.
I don't remember any of the plots. I do remember that we shot a whole bunch of stuff season 1. Because it's an ensemble show, so there was one particular couple that ran a B&B or a like a bed and breakfast type place.
Yeah,
and it was called like Rosemary and Thyme or something.
And so we shot six weeks with these people, and we're all like, "Oh!" And then 6 weeks in, they went, "Oh, they're fired," and we're bringing these people in to play the same characters. So we have to go back and reshoot everything.
I totally forgot about that.
That's the worst, eh?
I totally forgot about that. And there were all these little scenes that they had been in that we didn't reshoot. And I was like,
they just cut them?
Yeah.
I guess.
We'd shot an entire plot of one of the episodes of where the town puts on a play.
Yeah.
We shot an entire, like we shot, what, 12, 13 scenes, an entire part act of this show. And they just threw it away. Never used it. It's like,
I forgot about that too.
Thanks for that work that we worked hard on that will never be seen.
Clayton, one day I want you to sing your Cedar Cove theme song.
I barely remember it, and I need to learn how to play it on guitar.
Was there a Cedar Cove
theme I wrote one.
Song? He wrote one.
Oh, you wrote one.
And it was so good. Like,
it
I
was
wish you
pretty
could
good.
Remember it.
I almost pitched it to Carl Binder.
Why didn't you? He would have totally went
like,
for it.
I could actually see this. It was a joke, but then I thought, I'm like, this could actually be a theme song.
Carl is one of the sweetest people
ever. He was
ever.
Really super nice.
He probably would have went, yeah, let's think about this.
I don't know if they ever ended up having a theme song.
You know, Carl's from Stargate World, too.
That's right, because that's how you guys
knew
each other.
That's how I knew him, yeah.
The connection is in the city, hey?
Yeah, there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of us, and yet it's a small world.
Yeah. It is a small world.
It can be a little incestuous at times, too. You know what I mean? A little bit.
Really?
It was like... I know a place called Cedar Cove,
yeah.
America's small town treasure trove.
Almost.
Something about
it. You almost got it. There's a banjo solo in it.
So you...
One day.
Okay, wait. I need to break this down.
Yeah.
You spent time away from work.
No, I did it at work.
Oh, you did it at work.
On
yeah.
the clock.
Oh, yeah.
On the clock.
Okay, that's better. But still.
Like on the truck with Leanna, just like... goofing around.
I think I'm vaguely remembering this, actually.
Maybe.
I am. I'm vaguely remembering
it's
it.
It's still in my head. You told me about this like five
it's
years
probably
ago.
A spoof of a real song that I can't remember. That's probably why it's catchy. I probably just ripped off like a James Taylor song or something.
Or it's almost like Littlest Hobo.
It's kind of that. How about Littlest Hobo? Like, remember that show?
The classic Littlest Hobo. Yeah.
We need to do an episode about
starring London.
Old Canadian TV shows, right? Beachcombers.
Hey, Beachcombers, longest Little running House. Show ever.
Little, is it
ever?
How many seasons no. did they do?
The Simpsons is the longest.
Like 20?
It might be like longest.
Okay,
Canadian,
I need to look up that. For sure. That, yeah, no, I'm telling
Simpsons
you, it's the longest.
Like season 30.
Oh, okay. Beachcombers. Well, I can't count animation. How about live action longest?
Maybe.
Seriously.
1972 to 2004. That is quite
2004?
A run.
This is what I'm saying.
Well, Doctor Who's still on, and it came out in 1963.
Yeah. Bruno Geruzzi. Yeah,
that one works.
But they had gap years. Like, they didn't do any in the 90s.
There were no gap years with Beachcombers. They just kept going.
They just kept going? Like Coronation going. Street?
Coronation Street, you're right. That's Remember probably that? The longest running
I one. Had a, I, no joke, for a while I had a British nanny when my parents were both working, and she would watch Coronation Street.
Oh, God.
I think if you were a fan of Coronation Street, you were a fan of like you. There was no, you did not miss that show.
It says here the Beachcombers was broadcast in more than 50 countries and enjoyed the title of Canada's longest running drama series until Degrassi.
Oh,
because they did all the different incarnations of Degrassi
in 2012.
Degrassi was the first series, I believe, in North America to say fuck.
What?
Yeah.
What network are they? CBC?
They were on CBC.
I can't believe
it. Was a huge thing. And it was like my version, my generation of Degrassi. It was the very first one.
Yeah.
With Spike and, you know, Spike got
Wheels,
pregnant.
Snake.
Wheels. Yeah.
Spike
all
got
those
pregnant
guys.
By Shane.
By
and then
Shane.
He jumped
See?
Off the bridge on acid.
This
I remember
is
all
what
of
I'm
it.
Saying.
All of it.
And they, they said the word fuck. They were the first, like, network, not that it's CBC network, I don't know, show to use the F word.
Well, and you know what? Wow. They used to say, they probably said fuck the first time, but they tackled all kinds of teen issues.
Everything.
At the time.
Including,
pregnancy,
like,
AIDS.
School shootings.
School shooting.
They did it all.
All of it. And it was, like, super groundbreaking. And it was quite well done, I thought.
I never watched it.
It was well done. And then the second generation of Degrassi produced Drake.
Yep.
Really?
Drake was on that show.
Aubrey Drake Graham.
Whoa.
He was Jimmy in the wheelchair. I even watched some of that one. I'm not going to lie.
Wow.
And I was like 25. Creepy? Probably.
This is great.
It's not creepy. It's just, you know.
I just liked it. I just liked.
This is a great Canadian heritage moment.
I've never been to Toronto, but I feel like I grew up kind of on Degrassi Street. Just throwing that out there.
You've never been to Toronto?
Only the airport. I know. How dumb is that?
That's a little weird.
And when there
I've
was
never
the,
been there either.
When there was what? The SARS, yeah. When there was SARS in 2002, I don't know if you guys remember SARS.
Yes,
you remember,
I remember
SARS?
SARS. Yeah.
There was fucking plane tickets on sale.
Yeah, that's
to Toronto crazy. For $5. $5
what?
Canadian. I'm not kidding. $5 Canadian got you a round trip from Vancouver to Toronto plus a Blue Jays game. That's how bad that SARS thing was. It like
I did not
it.
Know that. I
would
have
no
totally
one wanted
gone.
To go to Toronto.
Nobody wanted to go there. Movies pulled out of there. It was a big fucking deal.
It was a big deal.
Deal.
Wow. Yeah, I do remember that.
All these productions pulled out of Toronto for a bit, for like a year kind of thing. It's the same thing in Alberta with the mad cow disease. Like people were giving away steaks on the streets. It was crazy.
I would totally eat a steak off the street.
Oh yeah, guys cheap. Were selling steaks Come off the on. Back of trucks.
Oh my
like,
god!
Like sides of beef and like 15, 16 ounce
like
New
Flintstones.
Yorks.
So
yeah,
throw
like
in
a
truck
boxes.
And the truck tips over.
Exactly.
Welcome to Alberta.
Brontosaurus ribs.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great summer. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh boy.
Okay, so.
Well, should we talk about Altered Carbon a little bit?
Yeah.
Our time on that because we both did both seasons.
We did both seasons.
We were kind of. The very small minority of people that came back.
Yeah, there wasn't for season two.
Yeah.
I guess we're dumb.
I guess.
No. Or we like a challenge.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to ask you a question about Altered Carbon, okay? Because when I watched it, I just wanted to know, because I watched it, my wife really loves sci-fi, so she's like, I want to watch the show, and I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. You know, I can't usually sit through shows like that, but I'm like, I'll watch it. So I'm watching. I just wanted to know, what did you think about the tiger meat scene?
The tiger meat scene?
I don't think you did it because it ended up being a second unit thing. Oh.
Okay, never mind then.
At Bancroft's party.
With the big fake tiger with the food and the cutting. I did do it. That was my...
You did it?
What did I think of it?
Like when you were shooting it, were you like, this might be kind of stupid. Just... Maybe I should tell somebody, maybe not.
No. When we were shooting it, what I really thought, like truly thought, was this is really dumb.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Not this might be kind of stupid.
I'm not the only one.
Listen, that whole party was like dumb, in my opinion.
I just remember that party, there was one of the first things we shot. I think it was week two we started shooting that coverage of the party scene. Yeah. And then we just ended up doing... bits of that party for the rest of the season because they never kind of finished. We always had
unfinished canvas.
We always had a bin of those champagne glasses and the serving trays because at any moment they'd be like, "We want to just do a little vignette of the party."
So true.
And nobody wants to go back to a party scene.
That tiger. Did I talk about the tiger on the show?
I think you did, but let's revisit.
Originally, it was a lion in the script.
Oh, well,
and we had a week. Sure. We had a week.
Put that together.
So we found a taxidermy tiger. He said, "Can it be a tiger? We can get a tiger pelt."
And they were like,
"Well, okay. We really want our heart set on a lion."
Lion.
So we got the tiger pelt and a boar. The meat is boar.
Oh, is that what it was?
Wild boar.
Why not just do ham?
Because it had to be big.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess it had to fit inside.
Because
they actually wanted people eating from it.
They wanted, because we were like, well, you wouldn't cook it like that. But anyway, so you had the skin and then the meat in the middle. That's what they wanted.
Because it didn't look cooked.
And they wanted let me tell the story. They wanted the ribs sticking out, just like the brontosaurus thing. So we did it. They got it was like a 700-pound boar or something.
Holy smokes.
We had to send it to a special kitchen that had an oven big enough to roast it. We got it all done.
We killed a boar?
Yeah. We didn't kill it. We bought it.
Clayton killed it with his bare hands.
I did. I went out. they got me on a plane. I went down to wherever boars live. I slaughtered
Bora,
it.
Bora.
Bora Bora.
Did the sacrifice.
Yeah. I had a whole ritual and everything with the local tribe.
That's nuts, dude.
No, but so we got it. Got it all done. It was on the set. They canceled it. Last minute. It was all set, ready to go. They're like, "No, we don't have time."
I do remember that, yeah.
So we had to throw it away.
Oh.
The boar. Because it had been out.
Welcome to the film industry. Because it had been out. Pure waste. No,
we couldn't eat it at that point. So then they wanted to do it again. So then we couldn't get a boar because we'd already blown the budget.
Now it makes sense.
And I can't remember what we ended up getting. It might have been ham or something.
I think it was ham.
It was something as close as we could, but we couldn't get the big thing, the shank or whatever. And they,
see, this is the behind the scenes stuff that people want to hear. Do you know what I mean? Because they don't really get a chance.
It wasn't even in the original script. It was just something they came up with. Because I think by this time we were doing.
Was it Lita who came up with it?
I don't know. It just was one of those things that came down the pipeline. And then Nevin would come to us on set while we're doing some other crazy gag. And he's like, "So, hey, Damon, you know anybody that has a tiger pelt?"
Damon's like, "Actually, yes, I do."
Yeah, of course, that was his answer. Damon's like, "Oh, actually, here, let me just get on Facebook and make contacts." Yeah, it was a whole to-do. And that tiger pelt, we tried to sell it in the second season because it was still in the hot stock. We tried to sell it back to the guy who gave it to us.
And he said, no way.
Yeah, he was like, "No way." Because I guess we had
that tiger pelt.
We cut it open and everything. It was like from the 30s or something.
Do you know where it ended up?
We sold it to some taxidermist.
Oh, jeez.
And so Altered Carbon's done now, though.
For now, who knows?
Because Chris Connor was telling us that it might be shot in Budapest or Bucharest or what was he saying?
Oh, that's interesting.
That's what he told us.
I know they wanted to go to Iceland.
Yeah, Iceland was supposed to be season two.
I love how when they cut budgets, though, when they're like, "Well, I'm going to cut the budget. Well, I'm probably going to cut again. Actually, we're going to shoot in Iceland." It's like, what? Like, how did that? Wow. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So, but that never happened. We stayed here.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah,
shooting it.
It's a good looking show. Besides
different,
the tiger meat,
different DPs for season two, so we'll see.
Yeah. And Anthony Mackie's to me a great actor.
Anthony was really great.
Yeah,
honestly, didn't you find?
I think
I really
he was good.
Enjoyed him.
I liked his take on the character. Because that was an interesting thing to say. Yeah,
he added kind of a lightness to it. It wasn't so heavy like on season one.
Yeah, because they had three different actors play. No, two actors play Kovach in season one.
Well, in season one, we had three.
Yeah, we had.
But that's because the first one in the pilot episode wasn't Aspect.
Can we say that?
Yeah. Well, I was about to ask.
Is that why we're here?
I was about to ask a pretty controversial question.
But he is. He did end up in.
And I think you'll realize that I'll probably answer it.
Go for it.
Because I know I've already done the Tiger Meat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what you're saying.
What do you think it's going to be?
No, ask.
Okay, when you're on set doing your job, for anyone who doesn't know, script supervisors, they have a script in front of them. They're watching the monitor and they have Comtex on, which are basically for earphones, right?
Yeah, headphones. So we can hear the actors.
So you can hear exactly what they're saying. So, and you're looking at the script and you're going, that's exactly right. That's exactly what was written. Or that, you know, you have to, you correct actors and you help them, right? Do the dialogue right.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, was it a challenge to do it with Joel Kinnaman?
Because
you don't have to answer. I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, not at all. I'll completely answer.
But when you watch the show, you're like, what's he saying? Like, oh my God.
I would walk up to Joel and I'd put my hand at my mouth and I'd move my fingers around but near my mouth and I'd say, mush mouth, mush mouth.
Oh, wow.
That's all I hear, mush mouth. And he'd be like, okay, yeah, mush mouth. I'm like, mush mouth, mister.
Oh.
I would say that to him. And, my suggestion for anyone who is going to watch Altered Carbon season one,
watch
it. They'd be like,
subtitles.
Subtitles.
Yeah.
Watch it with subtitles.
No, but it's that bad. And obviously, thank God you told them.
It would have been worse.
The whole time I'm watching, I'm like, okay, I can't understand what he's saying. He's
like, those were the only two notes that Jordy gave me from Altered Carbon. He's like, I watched Altered Carbon. What'd you think? Well, the tiger thing was stupid, and I couldn't understand what Joel Kinnaman was saying.
It's like the definition of brooding guy or whatever he was trying to do. Like, I get
it.
Well,
it's film noir.
Well, and I get that kind of stoicness. Like, I get that as a choice for an actor to be like the stoic. Like, you know, some of them change their voice. Like, the guys from Supernatural, they don't really talk like that in real life. But when they're on
camera. Well, neither does Kinnaman.
Yeah, exactly.
Or did he?
No, he didn't, really. Because
he's Swedish, so.
Yeah, he's got a bit of an. I didn't really notice much of an accent from him, Swedish.
He doesn't really have an accent, not even in like normal.
He's a decent actor. Like, he's a good actor, but I just couldn't understand what he's saying.
I used to tell Joel, you give great face.
Great face.
Yeah.
He gives good face.
Yeah.
And he's built and everything, but like that kind of. The problem was, too, is with Altered Carbon.
Day one, Joel Kinnaman, naked in front of me.
Wow.
I'm like, yeah, this is my job. This is my job.
What Damon would say, he's like, I think I've had enough of Joel Kinnaman's dink or whatever. He was always naked.
Classic Damon.
And yet, in the show,
you never see it.
You never see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too bad. Huh? Well, that's the problem, though, with the dialogue of Altered Carbon. Because in my opinion, if I was, let's say, a showrunner or somebody of something on that show, I would have said, okay, we have to hear, people in the audience have to hear the dialogue. Because nobody really knows what the fuck's going on in that story. Like, it's such a
complex story. It's a very complicated story, yes.
And you have to really hit those things home. Because I was like, okay, he used to be somebody else. Like, it took me a while to really, I mean, I'm kind of a dullard, so.
Well, but it's also, if you don't have this, if you're not into the sci-fi world and you don't have that sci-fi fan brain.
Exactly.
It's hardcore sci-fi.
To sort of suspend disbelief and go, oh yeah, this is how this works. It's difficult when you're not a fan.
And you're a science fiction fan yourself.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about science fiction.
Definitely.
Because I think what drew me to that show when we were first doing it was that it was so out there. It was like, whoa, this really, like, it's not dumbed down sci-fi.
No, they definitely didn't dumb it down. And that was the thing. Like, I think watching it with subtitles would help you with the clues that are dropped very subtly throughout the whole season.
I struggle with subtitles too.
Yeah. Oh, you
I'm
do?
Like reading it and, you know what I mean?
You can't read and watch at the same time.
Because I have a hard time with that.
I need glasses too, and I never wear them. So I'm always like, you know.
Yeah,
the subtitles could be bigger. If they were like
they cover the frame.
3-inch subtitles.
Just over
just
Joel's
under
face.
Their face. Yeah.
Just read what he's saying. Just below his chin. This
just
is
read
what
a
saying.
Book, Jordy. Jesus.
I tried. I read that biker book over the summer. I told you about it. is a good book. No, but I need the Coles notes. I need Coles notes on Stargate. I need Coles notes on Battlestar Galactica. I need Coles notes on Altered Carbon. It's just,
Battlestar Galactica, did you?
I didn't do any Battlestar.
Battlestar.
Galactica.
Galactica. I never watched that one. Oh, no, I did watch that a little bit. Did I?
I don't know. I never watched it.
Is that the one with the Cylons?
I've seen it, but I've never actually sat down and watched a show. It was, you know, it was groundbreaking at the time with the handhelds.
They're redoing it.
Are they really?
Yeah. Not here, though, apparently. Whatever.
No room.
We don't need it.
No room at the inn.
It's like 68 shows in town right now.
Shave. What's the new saying? Shave BC film.
Yeah. I love that so much.
That was brought to you by Cabbage Watson.
Yeah.
Oh, Cabbage. So funny. Classic. I saw Cabbage a couple weeks ago.
I'm working with him right now.
Like, oh, hey, yeah. Amanda, how are you?
He really was.
Yeah. Nice guy.
Great guy.
Always happy.
Super fan.
Which means he'll come back and murder us all.
Probably.
Someday.
Probably. Yeah, in our sleep, for sure.
You know, I think survivors will say, but he was such a nice guy.
He was such a nice guy.
No, okay. I don't think you're going to kill us, Cabbage. I think you're great.
He's sharpening his knives right now. He's like, you just wait.
Damn it, she figured it out.
He listens to the show religiously. Yeah. So he'll probably
know. He's totally our number one fan.
Yeah. He always has been.
Hi, Cabbage. We really like you.
Do we want to do a quick set peeves?
We should.
Sure.
Have you heard of our? You've heard this. What we do?
Yes,
sometimes.
I've listened. Yes.
And we didn't do it with one guest, and I think he was kind of upset about it because we got into talking and we completely forgot.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up because it slipped my mind too.
Because we were like, we shut it off, and then afterwards he was like, "Yeah, awesome guys, great." I kind of wanted to do set peeves, but you know, and we were like, "Oh, we totally forgot."
That was Pete, right?
Yeah, Pete Wilkie.
Oh, Pete Wilkie.
Yeah. Did you hear the set peeves episode with Heather Murray?
No, that's when I have that. I actually want, because Heather was talking about it on Facebook, and I'm like, oh my God, I have to listen to
it.
That
was
one.
A big hit.
I can't imagine what Heather said. Oh my God.
We just kind of went around the table and talked about little things that happen on set that just
drive us
get out drive you crazy.
Whoa, hey, like
that. Like people bonking around water bottles.
So we'd love to hear. From a script supervisor perspective, some set peeves. And maybe we can throw some in too.
My biggest one, which I always have to kind of calm myself down from in a small way, but it happens, and it happens daily, and it happens on every show, where because I work close with camera, and I work with the second assistants who do the slating.
Yes.
And so I tell them what to write on the slate. So a lot of times we have A and B camera, sometimes A, B, and C. And so they're all connected with the radios. So they talk to each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a radio, but they can communicate with their little group 100% of the time. So one of them will come to me, A camera will come to me and say, what's the slate? And I'll tell them, I'll say it's, you know, 25 Baker on the board. And 35 seconds later, B camera will come ask me what's on the board. And I'm like, 25 Baker.
25 Baker, yeah.
And then
C camera
will come ask me what's on the board. And the thing is A camera, I will watch them write it down on their board. And while they're finishing writing, they'll get on their radio and they'll go, 25 Baker on the board.
Oh, and they still
and
ask?
And none of them listen.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So then I get asked the same question.
Three times.
Every setup.
Every setup.
So that's fun.
And so I mean, it's minor, it's small, but it definitely makes me go...
But that's a set peeve.
That's a set peeve. That is the definition
of it. Definitely a set peeve.
There's so many things about camera guys that bug me. Not operators. No, actually, yes, operators.
Yeah.
But the assistants fucking drive me banana fucking sandwich, and they know it, you know? I have arguments with them all the time. But Luke and me became good friends over time.
I think the key is just never date anyone from camera.
Ooh. Oh,
I think that's just the key. Male, female, just stay away from
it. Well, you know what? When the whole Me Too thing came out, everybody was talking about how the grips were the creepiest guys, but then other people said camera were the creepiest guys. Just throwing that out there. Well, I heard it. I didn't make it up.
Let me just say that I think generally everyone in film is rather creepy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of it.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of circus freaks is what we are.
We're carny workers is what I call us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not.
We have our own language, and unfortunately if someone new comes in and they're kind of new to the business and they're sensitive, our language could be construed as
Okay, so you're a member. Quickly, I'm just going to tell her.
Tell her.
You're a member of IATSE 891.
I am.
Obviously. So they wanted to interview us for this show because they heard about it and they made this whole fucking to-do. And at first we were like, well, we don't really want to. Then, so we finally decided to do it.
That's awesome.
We were like, okay, so Clayton did it. I did it. I texted Clayton stuff on the phone and then he emailed them. So then they were supposed to run this story in Kaleidoscope, the monthly magazine. Yeah, and we're like, okay, great. But then they didn't do it. And then we found out why, and it was because we swear too much on the podcast. And we were like, what? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, emphasis on the fucking.
Like, do you know your members at all?
Yeah.
And then they sent us a letter basically justifying embezzlement of money. It was really weird.
Oh, yeah, that was weird. we just got that letter just recently.
We can throw subtle little digs at them for the next 52 episodes.
Well, yeah, because they refuse to acknowledge us, so whatever. Yeah,
do you remember years ago, you guys might not have been members then, that IATSE had such a surplus in their coffers that every crew member, depending on how long you'd been a member of the union, got money?
Yeah.
And do you remember that?
Yes, and I just got in
here.
It
was awesome.
I just fucking became a member.
I got like $3,000.
I hadn't been... a member long enough to receive any money.
Yeah. That'll never happen again.
No, it will never happen again.
No.
No, because we have embezzlement.
Because we embezzled it. Somebody embezzled it all away. It's too bad, though. It's a sad kind of situation. But
yeah.
Hopefully it'll somehow work itself out. Anyways, more any other set peeves?
Well, it's a peeve only because it actually makes me laugh. It's not so much a peeve. It doesn't get my coffer. Like, I don't get pissed off about it. It just makes me laugh. When you give a director a suggestion, you know, like, are you sure you want to do that? Or maybe you should want to try this or anything. And generally, you know, our ideas are good because we're script supervisors.
Sure.
It's just the truth. And they'll go, no. I don't need that. I don't need that. And then 2 minutes later, they're up and doing exactly what you just said they should do.
Dragging the first AD around.
Yeah, and so you need to just kind of go, okay, I won that little one, but you're never going to be acknowledged for it. I mean, that's not true, actually. There are the occasional director who will come back and go, thanks for that. That was a great idea.
Right.
But there's many who would not.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So that's kind of, you know, you're just like, it's a team effort.
It so is.
Everything is a team effort. And yes, we have a director who's, but you know, directors aren't infallible. They make mistakes or they miss things, and that's what we're there for. We're there to back them up.
You got to utilize the people. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the point?
My favorite thing is when you have a new director and you're like, I wonder how this director is, and you go up and ask them, like, yeah, should we have the bottles in this scene? And they go, well, what do you think? I'm like, oh, I'm gonna like this person. Because I'm like, well, you really value what I think? I'm like, well, I think we should. And they're like, great, put them in.
I think it's more like, I don't freaking know, so I'm just going to ask the props guy.
Maybe, but that's exactly why I'm there, right? I'm exactly. Like, oh, if you want to just leave it to me, then I can do my job. That's great.
Well, and that is kind of the fun part about film, working on film sets, is sometimes you get your own little ideas in the movie.
And you get to do it.
Definitely.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
That's what makes the creative juices flow and makes you want to be there and makes you excited about watching the process happen.
Yeah.
You know, not that we need that as a crew, you know, but there's nothing wrong with treating people with respect and praising their hard work that they're doing for you.
Amen.
And sometimes it happens by a complete accident. Remember the story I told on Continuity Confessionals? Did I tell that one about the little picture?
Yeah, you
that
did.
I put in?
What did you do?
I put in a long story short, because I've already told the story on the podcast, but I put a little picture in a book. This is kind of before clearances were a big deal. This is on a Western in Calgary, and I put a little picture in a book, and they did an insert shot of it. And it turned out that that picture was Harriet Beecher Stowe, famous American author. And I was on the ferry going to the island, and I looked on the ferry, and there was a copy of Entertainment Weekly, and I just opened it up, and there was a fucking article written about that picture in the book. Like, it was a whole this thing about this.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was like.
But it was like a congratulatory.
Yeah. Like well like, done putting this like, in there.
It was like, it was an ode to Harriet Beecher Stowe because her son died in a river crossing and all this shit. And I was like, oh shit. Like, I couldn't believe it. Hilarious.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So funny.
Super rare.
Yeah.
No. On Altered Carbon, I have one where the director did that to me. Miguel, who did the pilot.
Oh, yeah.
Of Altered Carbon. He, we were doing the scene. I don't know. You've seen it. So the scene where Joel comes out of the amniotic fluid for the first time and he realizes he's in a different body than what he, and he's what, 600 years in the future?
Right.
Yeah. So we're doing that scene, and then he, within the scene, he asks for something so he can see his reflection.
He asks for a mirror. Yeah.
He asks for a mirror. So the person in the scene with him grabs like a silver tray that like is in a medical tray that has like stuff on it usually.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they grab that and he's holding that to see his reflection change and be in the new body. Well, I said to Miguel, I'm like, do you want to get an insert of the tray being grabbed off the table?
Right.
You know, just a quick shot of tight shot of the tray being picked up.
Yeah.
And he turns to me and he goes, no. That's a stupid shot. I will never use that shot. That's such a TV thing, is what he said. And I'm like, okay, whatever you like, Miguel, whatever you want. And then 2 minutes later, we're doing that shot.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
And he comes back and he says to me, I'm doing this out of spite because if I ever use this shot in the movie, I'm going to call you up and I'm going to, I don't know, he said give you money or something. I don't remember exactly what he said. And he goes, but I will never use this shot in the show. I'm like, okay, well, but we're shooting it, which is yay. Guess what's in the show?
I thought you were going to say it's in the trailer.
It might be in the trailer, but it's definitely in the show.
Did he call you?
No.
And fans love that shot. They're like, you know what really sold me on that show? That goddamn fucking tray getting
pulled. I didn't
up.
Know where that tray came from. Yeah. Now I know.
Now I know. Yes. It was there.
But that's a classic example of a director saying no, and then doing it and then using it in the show.
Yeah,
they can be such babies, can't they? Mm-hmm. God, it's like, dude, it's all good, just fucking whatever, man. Okay.
All right, should we wrap it up?
What are we at?
We're over an hour.
Hour and 10. It's probably all right.
That's good.
It's probably good. Yeah. Did you have fun?
Yeah, sure.
I did have fun.
Good.
I don't know how interesting I am, but I had fun.
Oh yeah.
Very.
Very.
Oh, yeah. This will be a hit.
Yeah.
For sure.
Any other set peeves? Anything else? Anything to plug?
To plug?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like advertise.
You got like a one-woman show going on
there. The Langley Theater House?
Maybe.
Get your tickets early because there's only 20 seats.
Hey, everybody's got to start somewhere.
I know. Oh, jeez. Yeah. I never got to do my one man Back to the Future.
And I've told you numerous times it would be a major success.
You could do that for the Fringe easily.
Easily. Okay, anybody can get in the Fringe in Vancouver.
Order your tickets now. DM me on Instagram.
Slide into my DMs about this Back to the Future thing. Okay. Well, thanks for being on.
Well, thanks for having me, gentlemen.
Thank you for being the first script supervisor on our show.
Am I the first?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You might be the only.
Ah, maybe. I don't know. We're pretty interesting people.
I love script supervisors.
We are good friends with Allison Hunter, so we should probably have
I trained Allison.
Really?
I did.
Oh, she listens
to this. She listens to the show.
Hi, Allison.
And Ingrid just started listening to the show.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Ingrid might come on too.
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
Maybe we'll have all of you guys
We'll
on.
Get all the script supervisors.
It would
we'll
be one
panel.
Of the rare times we're all together.
Exactly, because you guys are solos.
We rarely see each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ships passing in the
my
night.
My cousin is a script supervisor too.
Yeah. Where?
Tammy Vance.
Tammy's your cousin?
That's my cousin.
See, I don't know Tammy, but I know Tammy. I know the name.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't personally know Tammy.
I believe it or not, I personally do know her.
I hope so.
She's my
family.
Beloved cousin. Yeah. She's my closest cousin, that's for sure. Okay.
All right.
Yay.
Thank you, Amanda, for being on the show.
thank you, Amanda, for being on the show. Clayton's choking on water right now.
Thanks. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to Dan for our music and Amanda for our graphics. And if you can want to email us, we've been getting emails, by the way.
Yeah.
We'll talk about them another time. Next week, though.
Yeah.
Thepropscast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Amanda. Do you want to say goodbye to us?
I'll say bye, boys.
Goodbye. Yeah, we say.
What do you say?
Bye when we say goodbye.
Yeah.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay. Ready? Okay, thanks, everybody.
Bye.